Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Check in the Inbox, where we talk about feedings, friendship, and our favorite podcasts. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's episode 168. Hello, Shauna.
Hi.
Hi. So let's get right to it. Let's hear your check-in for this week. How are you and how are those girls?
I'm good. The girls are good. So in episode 165, I mentioned that I bought a bunk bed for Elle because I just gave in because she was like, I want a bunk bed. And I was like, okay, sure. Why not?
You fully sober.
Fully sober. Yes. Of sound mind. I was just like, sure. Why not? Don't need one, but let's go for it. Because it sounded fun.
Mm-hmm.
The bunk bed has arrived. It has been set up. Which also means that we moved Elle's old bed into Cece's room and got rid of the crib.
The crib is gone again.
Again, but for real gone, because I listed it on my Buy Nothing group and someone took it immediately.
Ooh, that's a no takesies backsies situation.
Yeah, it was kind of an emotional day. I did a lot of cleaning out and listed a bunch of stuff on my Buy Nothing group, including the crib and the nursery rocking chair that I've had since before Elle was born. So a lot of sentimental stuff left the house. But I gave it to wonderful new moms and like connected with them. So it was really sweet.
It's the circle of life. It's good to know that they're going to like a nice place and being used.
Yes, I love that. Instead of just dropping it off at the Goodwill and wondering what's going to happen. Maybe they'll just dump it in the landfill instead of me. So we got the beds.
Okay.
They are assembled and they have had their first nights in the new beds. And for Cece, this is a bigger event, right? Like she just went from a crib to a full size bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like tripling your real estate right there.
Yes. She has so much more room to move around and she loves it.
Really?
Loves it. Like to a degree that I did not realize was possible. It's so fun to see. I went all out, of course. I went to Target and bought like all new cute bedding that goes with her room. And she now has four full size pillows on her bed, like regular adult pillows, you know, two for kind of accent and two for like sleeping. Before she had one little tiny toddler pillow. And now she's got all these pillows. We put all her stuffed animals on there. And she is really down with the real estate and the coziness of it. She's just like, it's so cozy. It's so cozy. I love my big bed.
Oh, that's so cute. And I want to clarify for maybe people who are not in the US, maybe it's different systems over there. But when you say full size bed, you don't mean like not a crib. Like it's not a twin. It's bigger than that. It's not a queen. It's smaller than that. It's a full size bed.
Yes. The dimensions are...
Which, by the way, I did not have a full size bed until grad school, I think.
Me too. I was rocking a twin bed all through college, for sure. The dimensions of a full bed are 75 by 54.
Inches. Okay.
So it's a big upgrade from a crib.
Huge upgrade from a crib.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so little Cece rolling around in this gigantic, fully plush bed, and she absolutely loves it, is a wonderful visual for me.
It's wonderful for me, too. I didn't realize how much I would love it. Like, I knew I loved the cuddling aspect of a full-size bed with Elle, because that's what we transferred her to when she was about 2.5. But Cece, it's just even better. I don't know, because she's so into it and she just like cuddles right up next to me and we read and like we're in all these fluffy pillows and comforter. And it was just the happiest I've been in like ages. It was so awesome.
Oh, I'm so glad that worked out.
Yeah.
And I need to know about Elle and her bunk bed. Like, is she sleeping on the top, on the bottom? What's happening there?
So we set up the bunk bed in there and she has decided she can sleep in either. She likes both. The bottom is like a cozy fort and the top is exciting. So she's been sleeping in the top and we read books on the bottom and it's exciting. It's really exciting. And the girls go up there and play together and I haven't seen them have so much fun in ages. They're like throwing their stuffies down on the floor and laughing and making me get them and they're just like cracking each other up and it's just a really fun time. So I feel like, yay, it all worked out. I'm so excited.
So here's a question. So I tend to have anxiety about things, and falling is one of them. Like, how do you feel about the height aspect of it? Like, are you afraid at all? Is it like scary, or is it just totally safe and non-issue?
It's definitely scary. It's high. If Elle fell off of it, she would probably hurt herself. I don't feel worried that she will fall off of it, though. I am worried about Cece, because she gets up there and she's just like walking around up on the top bunk, like right by the edge. I'm like, no, like go on your knees or go on your butt. And she's, you know, two. So she doesn't follow instructions very well. And they climb up the ladder. They climb up the sides, you know, to get up there. They're doing all kinds of monkey bar shenanigans with this thing, including Cece. And so I'm definitely like, And I'm also a little worried they're going to like hit the ceiling fan, because the ceiling fan is kind of close.
Oh, God.
To the top of it. I know, I'm making it seem like this really dangerous situation. But I'm also like, they climb on stuff at the playground. And
yeah,
that's what
true.
Kids do. And I don't know. Maybe I'll be kicking myself in 3 weeks when they fall off and break an arm. I don't know.
Well, at least the full bed is like underneath, though, right? Like, so if they fell, they wouldn't fall all the way to the floor. It would be to the other bed.
They would definitely fall to the other bed and then bounce off onto the floor. That's what I think would happen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But that sounds super fun. I would have loved a bunk bed as a kid.
Me too. Me too. Going on vacation and staying in some kind of cabin with a bunk bed was the most exciting thing that ever happened to me as a kid. Yes, loved that. So I'm jealous that she has one and I don't. Maybe I'll get myself one. But so far, so good. And Cece, knock on all of the wood in the world, is actually sleeping really well in it. I thought it would be a problem where she would realize she could get out of bed and escape. But I'm just like, stay in your bed, you know, stay in bed. It's cozy. Go to sleep. And she's been staying in there. Like,
wow.
She'll lie there for 30, 45 minutes, getting sleepy, listening to her music, and fall asleep. And I've just been floored by it. I just really think the comfort level is really helpful. You know, she went from a shitty crib mattress that was like kind of ripping and old, you know, and now she has this really cush full size mattress. It's just better all around.
It's like when you go to a hotel and they have a king size bed that's like the softest thing ever. And you're just like, I'm never leaving.
Yes.
This place. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, that's the big update in our world. What about you guys? How are things going on your end?
Things were looking up last week, remember, Shauna?
Oh, yeah. The last 2 weeks, everything was coming up, Laura.
Augie was in school and Sebastian had gotten sleep trained and things were just going great. But some people might know this already because of the way we record and release. We have a bonus episode we just recorded that will probably come out before this one. So if you've listened to that, you know that Augie came home from his first week of preschool with COVID.
Life really hit the brakes on your good forward positive momentum, Laura. What the heck?
I bragged about it. That's why I was like, oh, everything's going great. Things are wonderful. And life was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And to be fair, so I'm not actually going to talk too much about the nitty gritty of the COVID, because I talked about it in that bonus episode and you can go back and listen. But, you know, I'm going to talk about it sort of in how any kind of illness messes with your flow and your week with kids, basically.
Yeah.
So luckily, you know, Augie got COVID and then the next day Sebastian started coming down with the sniffles. And so he presumably also had COVID. Thankfully, Corey and I did not get it. We both tested negative and never felt sick. So that was all good. And what was great is that both kids had very mild illness and it wasn't like a huge deal as far as like illness goes, right? It sort of felt like a mild cold. That's not to say that it wasn't nerve-wracking and all that stuff, but thankfully we were spared like really bad outcomes, and I'm very grateful for that. But what happened was, you know, in these times of COVID, like even before we knew it was COVID, we obviously had to keep Augie home from school with even the slightest illness. And we also had to make sure that our nanny Eliza stayed home because we didn't want to expose her just in case, you know, he was positive. which he turned out to be positive. We didn't find out till Tuesday night. He got tested on Sunday and then tested positive Tuesday night, which is why like last week's episode was like, everything is fine. Mm-hmm. But it really, you know, definitely threw a wrench into our week. So after 1 week of school, he has to like now go back into full quarantine where we have no child care. So, you know, we're like just getting into like the swing of things and everything just gets halted. So honestly, it felt like March 2020 again, except this time it was like with a 2.5-year-old plus a baby, you know, Corey and I are not going anywhere, not leaving the house, not even going on walks around the neighborhood. We are getting everything delivered and we're just stuck inside with these kids and in our backyard, thankfully. But it's a lot to try to figure out how to keep kids entertained for like 12 straight hours while they're awake during the day.
Every parent listening to the podcast right now is shaking their head. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So hard. We just watched a lot of TV, basically. Like, that's basically all we did all week.
That's the best thing to do when your kids are sick. Just TV games. They love it. It's easy.
Well, and yeah, the other thing is that Augie will not sit still. Like, he, even with fucking COVID, the kid will not nap and the kid wants to like run around like a maniac pretending he's an AT-AT or like a X-Wing. And I just needed him to like rest his body. So the way to do that is to turn on the TV. So the good news is that he used to think like Daniel Tiger was boring and I hadn't shown it to him in a while. And I decided just to try again this week. And it turns out he like actually loves it.
Oh, good.
So we watched a lot of Daniel Tiger, which made me happy, not just because I had been paying for like the PBS Kids subscription since Sebastian was born and like forgot about it.
Oh, my gosh.
So now we can actually use it. But also because like I was blippied out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the short story is that like they were mildly sick for a couple days and then we're all better. So everyone's already back to normal and fine. So go listen to the COVID episode if you want a little bit more detail on that. But the main thing I wanted to check in about this week was something that I noticed happening after we got Augie's COVID diagnosis back, which is I started noticing intrusive thoughts coming into my head more and more. Which I don't know if that's something that you've ever had to deal with, Shauna, if you even know like what intrusive thoughts are as far as like mental health is concerned. Like, do you have any experience with that?
When I was going through postpartum anxiety, intrusive thoughts were one of my big symptoms, and they were always around the fear of Cece dying, like, you know, like in bed or just something happening. And they were out of my control and they caused a lot of emotional response in me. So I think that's kind of along the lines what you're talking about, but I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah. So the way I understand intrusive thoughts is that they are like scary thoughts or like almost visions. They can be very visual for me of bad things happening that are disturbing that you are not in control of. Right. So for instance, this week, I had this like very clear image for some reason of Augie taking Sebastian and throwing him over the stair railing. Like, it just came to me and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like this is all happening in a split second. But in my brain, it's like, Augie's going to throw Sebastian over the stair railing someday and like try to kill him, basically. It's like, no. Another one that happened to me was I actually was watching Corey and Augie play in the backyard and all of a sudden, like, I imagined Augie having a terrible accident and like basically like smashing his head open and dying. And obviously these are very anxiety producing. And like you said, they create like a physical response in you. But I want to bring them up, first of all, because they're apparently extremely common and very normal. But also because I noticed I was having these intrusive thoughts and it helped alert me to the fact that I had some unresolved anxiety about this COVID thing.
Right.
I was lucky enough to have listened to this podcast. Have you ever listened to Happy as a Mother?
No.
So I listened to this podcast called Happy as a Mother. It's with a psychotherapist named Erica Josa. And I really like it. There's a lot of really interesting topics. And I had previously listened to episode 38, which was Understanding Scary and Intrusive Thoughts with Dr. Cassidy Freitas. And I'd listened to this ages ago and didn't think much about it, but it kind of stuck with me in that it allowed me to recognize that these intrusive thoughts were happening, not judge them for happening, but also be able to label them as intrusive thoughts and like move on.
Mm-hmm.
And it alerted me to the fact that like maybe I'm more stressed out about this COVID thing than I'm letting on, you know?
Right.
Because I feel like everyone was asking me, how are you guys? And I'd be like, we're fine. We're fine. Everyone's fine. But then I was noticing my brain was basically still on high alert and still doing all this intrusive thought stuff. So basically, I don't have any like big revelation or any way to stop them even. Like, but I wanted to bring it up because I feel like I can't possibly be the only person this happens to. I know I'm not. And I know that the first time I heard about them, I didn't know like there was a label for them. So
right.
If you're out there and this type of thing is happening to you, like go listen to that Happy as a Mother episode because they have way more actionable information on there than I have for you. But also like you're not alone and it doesn't make you like a bad mother or a bad person or make you like, I think people are worried that like you want something like that to happen. Like, oh, maybe I secretly want my baby to die or something. And it's not true. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just your brain being a weird ass brain. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all have uncontrollable thoughts that might seem extreme or bizarre or scary, but it really doesn't mean anything truthful about who you are as a person. You know, that's one thing I've really been learning in doing cognitive behavioral therapy for the anxiety that I was experiencing is what you did, I think, is perfect, right? Recognize what the thought is, accept it. Like, that's like the big thing that my therapist is always trying to teach me. Like, accept the thoughts. Don't like push them away and try to escape them because then that just makes them like want to come back even stronger. So, like, accept the fact that you've had the thought and try to let it go. Just recognize that it doesn't mean anything and try to move on from it. And it can be scary. Those thoughts can be very overwhelming and they can feel very truthful. Like, one thing I always used to think is like, oh, I'm somehow like telling the future, like I'm tapped in instinctually on something that's going to happen. And it's not necessarily true. Like, I've never been able to tell the future. And that was no different. That time was no different.
Yeah, I definitely have that too, where it's like, oh God, like this is a vision of the future. It's TV and movies that make us have these stupid, like, we think we're so much more powerful than we are. But yeah, so I just wanted to mention that because it's something that happened to me this week and it definitely tipped me off that I wasn't as okay as I was making it out to be to everyone who called. But we are physically okay and, you know, emotionally we are getting better. So
good.
Yeah. And assuming that everything goes as planned, Augie will be going back to school next week. So
good.
Yep.
Good, good.
But anyway, that is my check-in for this week. Do you want to move on to our special segment?
I do. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is Check in the Inbox, where we check our email inbox and our DMs to see what kind of burning questions you have for us. And Shauna, we've got some great questions.
All right, I'm excited to dive right in.
We actually got so many great questions, we're going to be doing this for two whole episodes. So if you don't hear your question answered in this episode, make sure you stay tuned for episode 169. But let's dive right in, Shauna.
Okay.
I think we've got to answer these questions.
All right.
So the first one's kind of for you, but it's kind of for both of us. And Emma asks, have you done an episode where you talk about baby blues or postpartum depression or anxiety?
Very good question, Emma. We don't have an episode where we specifically address this, but we should and we want to. And it's on our to-do list, right, Laura?
It really is. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We've been wanting to do this for a while and just haven't gotten a chance to, but thanks for the reminder, Emma.
Yes, yes. And listeners may know that I have had some issues with postpartum anxiety and depression. So I definitely am open to talking about this and sharing my story and hopefully helping others with it. So we want to do this soon. But in episode 64, I think that's the first time on the show I talked about my issues with anxiety. Laura, if you remember, I had an anxiety attack at the grocery store, and I had no idea what was happening. It's nothing like that had ever happened to me before, and it was like, whoa.
I do remember that, and that was way before the pandemic, when having a panic attack in the grocery store was like an everyday occurrence.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing out of the ordinary in the world was going on. I was just panicking about nothing. So that was kind of my first indication that something was going on. That's not true. That was not the first indication. I actually had been having some issues since Cece was born. That's when it really came to a head and I decided to get help. So shortly after that, I did start seeing a therapist and a psychiatrist and started dealing with those things. So I would definitely love to talk about all that more in depth in a future episode.
Yes, that's definitely on our to-do list and we're going to get to it ASAP. Thanks for asking, Emma.
Yes. All right, Laura. Olga has a question for you. She says, how is Sebastian doing with his bottle strike? And I'm curious about this too. What is going on with that?
Yeah, so I got a tip from a listener to like put the baby bottle nipple in my bra to help. And I tried that and it kind of worked. But to be fair, like we haven't really been trying much. When my mom was in town, she gave him a bottle and he kind of like gnawed on it and got enough liquid in his mouth that he like swallowed 3 ounces, but it apparently made a big mess and he wasn't like sucking on it. Uh-huh. So it's just something that it hasn't really been a consistent thing we've been trying anymore because I'm kind of lazy and don't feel like wasting pumped milk. And
yeah,
also we've started solids with him. So it's one of those things where it's like,
oh,
I'm always around, the end's kind of in sight, and if I'm not around, we can kind of like tide him over with solids if I'm just running 20 minutes late or something, and you know, he's hungry and needs breast milk.
What about other drinks? Does he drink water out of bottles or cups or anything?
Yeah, so he's starting to drink water out of, I have another Zoli cup, which is like a really, really small straw cup. And mm-hmm. he likes that and he's doing well with that. And he's kind of figuring out those 360 cups, but uh-huh. they're kind of heavy for him. Like he doesn't quite get the mechanics of it quite yet, but it's cute to try. So he's working on water. It's messy, though. So I don't really want to give him milk in it either, because like he'll take a big sip of it and then just most of it dribbles down his chin. I don't want to clean that up.
All right. Well, Whitney and Katie have a question. They're wondering how your baby's doing with solids. Are you guys doing baby-led weaning or traditional purees? What's the story with that?
Yeah, so we're kind of doing both, which I guess they call combo feeding. We're mostly doing purees. And it's funny to me because like Augie got 100% homemade food. I never bought him a single jar of baby food until like he was much older.
Really?
Yeah. I was just like, well, I was working from home, not really working that much. He was my only child. So I was like, it's so easy to make homemade baby food. I don't know why everyone doesn't do it. Sebastian has not had a single homemade meal. It's all pre-made baby food all the time. So I get him a variety of purees in the pouches and in the jars. And then I've kind of been a little more cavalier with the baby-led weaning stuff, I have to say. Like, I've given him some frozen green beans to gnaw on, which he really mm-hmm. liked for teething. And I just kind of watch him closely, but he really likes gnawing on them. I don't think he actually ingests much with those, but it gives him practice chewing and stuff. I've given him like the heel of a crusty loaf of bread for him mm-hmm. to kind of gum at. And I tried giving him a banana done the like baby-led weaning way, which is where you leave the skin on so they can hold it and you have a little like nub of banana up top. And he gagged uh-huh. and I freaked out and aborted. I was like, no, stop. So I'm being a lot more cavalier this time around in that like there's no plan. There's no like, we're going to start with the green vegetables and then we're going to move on to the orange fruits or whatever. No, it's just like, it's more like it's dinner time and I realize that I also need to feed the baby and Corey's looking for something and can't find anything. I'm like, reach into the way back. I'm pretty sure there's like an apple and cinnamon pouch left over from Augie, like all the way in the back of the pantry. That'll do.
From 2019. That's great. Well, I say there's nothing wrong with that because that's exactly how I approached feeding with both my kids. I never had much plan or definitely no homemade food. So I think you're doing A-okay.
Thanks. And also, I have to say that we had this big plan and like all organic homemade bullshit with Augie. And the kid won't eat anything now. Like, he eats cheese and French fries. You know, like, it did not work with him. The plan did not work. So this time I'm just like, whatever. Luck of the draw. Some kids eat vegetables and some don't. And Cece eats raw onion.
True.
So
she does. She still enjoys it. She calls it spicy.
Okay, Julia has a question. Oh, it's for both of us, but I actually want to hear your version of the story first. So Julia asks, how did you and Shauna become friends? And do you see each other much?
Okay, well, first we need to rewind all the way back to 2004.
What? 2004?
I think some of our listeners were maybe like being born back then. Just kidding.
Not quite.
True. Laura and I were both in the Masters of Professional Writing program at USC as new students, and we were in the same playwriting class. And were we in one other class together that semester?
You know, I don't remember if we were that semester. I don't think so. I just remember that playwriting was my very first class of like the very first week. It was at some weird hour. It was like 7 p.m. or something.
It was dark outside.
It was dark outside.
I never leave the house after dark anymore. So this story is already weirding me out.
I know, right? Oh, and I just remember being so nervous because I didn't know anyone and I'm always awkward. But I remember being in class and like we were all talking at some point, you know, like with the teacher was asking us questions and you were, I don't know, you just seemed cool. I remember thinking like, I want to be friends with her.
Awesome. That's awesome. What I remember is I was in the hallway outside of class talking to our friend Noelle. I had just met her. She was another very cool person. And then you came up to say hi to us and it just clicked. I think you wrote your email down in a notebook of mine. And I remember that because I came across it while I was cleaning stuff out a few years ago.
No
it was
way.
Like Laura Bierick at AOL.com or I don't know, whatever. Hotmail or something like
How
that.
How dare you? How dare you say that in 2004 I had an AOL account? Oh my goodness. No, it was mailcan.com, Shauna. Mailcan.
Okay. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That is cool. That's a step above where I was with Hotmail. So, yes, very cool. And we connected because we both really loved American Idol. I would go to your house all the time and watch the episodes, and it was really fun. We would like eat dinner and stuff. And I don't know, we had a lot of other classes from there on out and hung out a lot outside of school and just became buds.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember watching you talk to Noelle and thinking, oh no, they're already like really good friends and I'm going to be a weirdo coming up and talking to them. And then like mustering up the courage to be like, you just have to make friends. Like, this is the way you do it. And of course, like you had just met Noelle. You guys didn't know each other.
Nope. We knew each other for the same amount of time. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you did that. Yay. Because look at us now.
The rest is history.
Yes. But now we don't see each other that much because mostly the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we do live like a 20 to 30 minute drive away from each other, which in Los Angeles is like, you might as well be out of town. So,
yeah. I have to say, though, we were seeing each other a lot until the pandemic hit. Like, I'd say a lot for adults with kids. Like, we were getting together for lunches and getting our babies together. We would see each other at least once a month, I feel like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Stupid pandemic.
Oh, yes. So hopefully that'll all end soon and we can hang out more often.
Yes, yes.
All right. Emily has a question. She says, C-section mom here. Was it tough to get past the idea of never giving birth vaginally?
Ooh, good question. For me, as people know, I ended up having a VBAC, so the never didn't happen. I ended up having both types of births. And I have to say that if you had asked me this before I had the VBAC, I would have been like, no, it's not a big deal. I don't mind. Like, I, you know, C-sections are just as valid way of birthing. And I believe all that still. But now that I've had the VBAC, I am grateful that I had it. So it kind of clouds my answer on this a little bit. Because I don't have to have that never thing, right? Like, I got to experience both types of birth. So maybe, Shauna, you might have more thoughts on this, but I will say that I am truly, truly, truly a believer that, like, there's so much pressure put on moms about, like, having this idealized type of birth and that one way is superior to another. And having done both, I'm glad I got to have both experiences because I, like, you know, I'm like a hoarder of experiences. I love knowing what things are like and, you know, if not just for myself, for having things to talk about on the podcast. But having had both, like, I don't think there is one that was superior or more amazing or more wonderful. They were just different, right? Mm-hmm. They were just different experiences. And so I really hope that if you have a lot of sadness about this or you have a lot of remorse about not being able to give birth vaginally, like, I hope I can help you let it go, or you can have someone who you can talk to help let it go, because, you know, we can't control how these things turn out. And there's no perfect way to get these babies out in the world. There are just multiple mm-hmm. different ways, and they're all valid and they're all good and they're all intense experiences.
Absolutely. Yes, I know that a lot of people really struggle with this, and I have empathy for that. And I understand, like, really wanting something to turn out one way and it didn't work out that way. And that is really hard. I don't know that I'm the best person to ask this, because to be honest with you, it's not something I ever had my hopes set on. I mm-hmm. definitely went in right from the beginning with the idea that whatever happens will happen. And if I'm really honest, I think I kind of secretly wanted a C-section. I don't know. Birth scared the shit out of me. Even like when I took birthing classes, there was always part of me that was like, oh my God, I don't really want to do this. And I resisted the C-section for quite a while. I labored for like 20 hours. The baby was in distress for a long time. And we tried and tried and tried. And when the doctor finally was like, I think we should just do the C-section, I cried a little bit, but I was also like, yeah, okay, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the second time around, I talked about it on the show. I was just immediately like, yes, let's do this repeat C-section, because the fear of the unknown and the giving birth vaginally, like, it just scared me. I just wanted to have mm-hmm. that scheduled and on the books and go in and redo what I already did before.
Well, and you had experienced labor, which I had not. Mm-hmm. And right, because I had just got in for a planned C-section with my breech birth for Augie. So
right.
I was curious about that. Like, I was curious to have the experience of, like, what does a contraction feel like? It's almost like I wanted to VBAC just for that. And then I was like, and if we end up with a C-section, I can at least be like, yeah, those contractions, those really hurt. Because I did, I felt like a little bit of a, like, imposter sometimes in mom groups where they're talking about how intense labor was. And I was like, oh, yeah, I walked in at my appointed time and it was very calm. And they just, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, so different.
So mm-hmm. different. So, yeah. But I really hope if listeners are out there and struggling with this, that, like, you can do whatever you can to let go of any preconceived notions of how things should be, because there's just no controlling it.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for asking, Emily.
Yes.
Okay, so Rachel has a question for you, Shauna.
Okay.
She wants to know, does Cece still nap in your room on garbage collection days?
No, I forgot about that. I put in so much effort that day. Oh my God, getting the pack and play in here and the toys and the stuffies. And like, I remember Cece wanted like every single stuffy, so she had like 40 in there. And I mean, it was crazy. I just could not keep that up. I did not do that again. We suffered through garbage collection. Sometimes it wakes her up and sometimes it doesn't. And we hold our breath watching the monitor. If we hear the truck rumble down the road, I'm like, Steve, it's coming. He's like, oh God. And we just hold our breath and see what happens.
That's funny. Oh my God. The things we do to preserve sleep for these kids.
Yeah. Yep. Indeed. All right. Let's see. What do we got? Katie asks, Laura, when did you stop using the owlet for Augie?
Oh,
and remind our listeners what the owlet is.
Yeah, so the owlet is this sock that has a pulse oximeter on it, which is like the little device that tells you what your oxygen level is and how fast your heart rate is. And it alarms if it goes like above or below certain thresholds, right? If your oxygen goes below 80, it alarms. And if the kid's heart rate or oxygen goes above the levels. And if your heart rate goes, I think, over 220 or under 60, I think, in alarms. And we used the Generation 2 version for Augie from, like, day one. My mom bought it for us, and it was a real, like, anxiety soother for me. Mm-hmm. And we ended up using it till he was about 18 months, I think. I don't remember exactly when we took it off of him, but he started to grow out of it, I think, because we started to get more and more, like, sock placement errors. You know, it tells you if the sock is not placed right and not getting a good reading. And after, like, a week of getting intermittent errors like that, and the, like, sock itself started to not be able to charge and, like, keep its battery as well, I just finally decided it was time to retire it. You know, the kid was running around and being a full-fledged toddler. So I was less worried about SIDS, obviously. So, yeah, about 18 months with him. And he's slight, too. Like, it goes up to a certain weight, and he's, I think, still underneath that weight. So he could technically maybe still use it, but it obviously just wasn't working as well. So we stopped. I will say we have the Generation 3 for Sebastian, and I love it. And they just updated it. Like, they just released a new sock size, like a third sock size that goes up to 65 pounds and, like, age 5 or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Elle could wear that. Holy cow.
Yeah. And I bought the bigger sock, actually, not because I anticipate using it on Sebastian that long, but because I realized, like, oh, it might be good to have in case one of them is sick and we want to, like, monitor them overnight, you know, when they're older. Yeah. Also, I just, like, impulse purchase things in the middle of the night when I'm nursing. So, yeah. So the 3 could stay on Sebastian till he's, like, 15 at this rate. I don't even know. But I do love, a lot of people ask, like, is there a difference between the Generation 2 and Generation 3? And I've used them extensively, and I will say the 3 is much better. Like, it works a lot better. It connects faster. Okay. It's easier to put on. So if you're, like, waffling or are wondering about it, get the 3. Cool. But I love it. I love it. Okay, so we have one more question. Katie asks, what, if any, podcasts do you ladies listen to?
If any. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we are podcast junkies, right, Laura? I think we're going to be able to answer this one.
Yeah, although I have to say, I wanted to make sure I included the if any, because I don't know about you. I don't have as much time to listen to podcasts as I used to, but I do still listen. I do still listen.
Yes, I do, too. And the podcasts I listen to, I realize, fall into a few different categories. I mostly listen to comedy podcasts, followed up by true crime and storytelling podcasts. I've exhausted storytelling podcasts, really. I've listened to, like, every This American Life, The Moth, Snap Judgment, all of those. So on that note, right now, I really like listening to Heavyweight with Jonathan Goldstein.
Oh my God, I love that show.
I love it so much. He basically helps people solve interpersonal problems by reaching out to others in their life or in their past and trying to help them resolve the issues. My favorite episode, did you listen to the one where he talks to his music producer about when he wrote the jingle for McDonald's about, like, random red couch?
Yes, the random red couch.
It's a random red couch. It's so funny. So that show spans funny, emotional, really, really good stuff. And Ear Hustle is good. Have you ever listened to Ear Hustle?
I've only listened to a few episodes of Ear Hustle, but everyone recommends it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's hosted by Nigel Poor, who's a Bay Area visual artist, and Erlon Woods, who was incarcerated at San Quentin State Prison. And they explore the stories of life in prison with those who are in there now, those who have gotten out of it. And it's really, really fascinating.
Yeah, I know that's, like, an award-winning podcast, right? I mean, people love it.
Mm-hmm. Really, really good.
I need to add that to my list.
Yeah, you should. Or have you been listening to any storytelling type of podcast these days?
You know, I always listen to Heavyweight. Like, if it comes up, you know, if there's a new episode, I listen to it immediately. But I actually haven't been doing a lot of storytelling podcasts. I think the closest I've come to it is the Outside podcast. Have you ever listened to that?
No, what's that?
So it's put out by Outside Magazine, and it's all about, like, being outdoors and mostly like sort of almost extreme sports, or not extreme, but like hiking, camping, mountain climbing, kayaking, this sort of stuff.
Adventure sports.
Adventure sports, yes. But it's all like stories of things that happen when you're out in the woods, basically. Ooh. And there's a lot of super harrowing, super interesting stories. So I actually found it through this episode that came out January 15th, 2020. It's titled Seeking Magic and Solace in the Northern Lights. And first of all, it actually has like a connection to you because like there's a whole thing about some like phenomenon that they just call Steve because they don't have a name for it, which is really funny. But it's actually a beautiful story about someone who goes and like photographs the Aurora Borealis. And it's really beautiful. And so I started listening to that show and I pick and choose. Like, I don't listen every time, but I've never listened to an episode I don't like. So I really like the outside podcasts as far as storytelling podcasts go.
Cool.
And then I listen to a lot of like mom shit now, like mom mm-hmm. and happiness. So like I listen to Happier in Hollywood and Happier with Gretchen Rubin. I think I've talked about that a bunch. But I also now listen to Happy as a Mother and mm-hmm. Good Inside with Dr. Becky. And I'm listening to, I guess, a lot of like self-helpy type stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I have to just mention my new favorite podcast, which is Maintenance Phase. Have you listened to Maintenance Phase?
No. Ooh.
Okay, so Maintenance Phase is from one of the hosts of You're Wrong About, which everyone loves You're Wrong About, but there's like 5 million episodes and I don't know where to jump in and I'm a completist, so I'm like, it freaks me out.
Well, that's one of the ones I love to listen to and I was going to mention it in this episode, but I think you can pretty much jump in wherever because they just handle topics on like a one-off basis or maybe like a series. So I think you can jump in wherever.
Okay, maybe I'll do that. So Michael Hobbs mm-hmm. is one of the hosts of You're Wrong About, right?
Mm-hmm.
He and Aubrey Gordon do Maintenance Phase, which is all about like the diet and like wellness industry bullshit that goes
Ooh.
On. So every episode is picking a topic. I think it's very similar to You're Wrong About, but it's very specifically focused on diet, exercise, like fads type things or like mm-hmm. trends. So one episode was about moon juice and one episode, okay. which is like the super granola, like, but expensive juice company based out of LA that like uh-huh. I'm sure Gwyneth Paltrow loves. Like uh-huh. another episode is about Dr. Oz. Another one's about Weight Watchers. Like, and they just go into like the actual like history and evidence about like whether these things work or don't, or like how they're harmful. And it's very like funny and informative. And I love it.
Awesome. So, definitely going to check that one out.
They just started, I think, this year or last year. So they have 25 episodes. So it's not overwhelming.
Yes.
Like you could go and listen to all of them.
You can get in early.
Yes. Get in early on a fun new podcast. So yeah, Maintenance Phase. Every time I see a new episode pop up, I'm like, yes, I have something to listen to while I do the dishes.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, I was going to mention You're Wrong About as one of my favorite comedy podcasts, but it's also very informative. They really go back and explore a lot of history and information about things. So that one's really cool. Another one of my favorite comedy podcasts is Why Won't You Date Me with Nicole Byer. Have you ever heard that one?
No, but I love Nicole Byer.
I love her. She is so funny. She's the host of Nailed It, which is one of my favorite baking shows ever. And she hosts a podcast where the whole purpose is to like figure out how she can get a partner to date her. And she does it by interviewing other people in the comedy community. And they just chit chat and crack up and have a really good time talking. And I just started listening to Don't Ask Tig with Tig Notaro. It's an interview comedy podcast, too. I love comedy interview podcasts, if you can't tell.
Tig is awesome, too. I love Tig.
I know. She's so good.
I talk like she's my friend. Yeah, Tig. Love her.
My buddy Tig. Yes, don't know her in real life. Nope.
No. And I also want to make sure I mention the Milk Minute podcast, because that's another show that I listen to every time it comes out. And we were interviewed by them on one of their shows, and we brought them onto our show to answer some lactation questions, and I just really, really like them. I just think their show deserves a lot more attention than it's getting. So if you are a person who plans on breastfeeding after you're pregnant or is currently breastfeeding, definitely go check them out, Milk Minute.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think that's it for this segment, Shauna. Lots of great questions. We'll get to more next time, but should we take a break and come back with our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, so we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative from the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
BFP.
Yay.
Yay.
What is it?
So we've talked before about how both of our toddlers, free from influence of anyone else, it seems, have decided that crust on bread and sandwiches is like the devil, right?
The worst. They, yeah.
Yes.
Why would you even have it on your plate? My God.
I know. Elle never had a big crust aversion, so you would think like Cece would get it from her big sister, but no, she came up with this on her own. And so I found a product that I think is really fun and awesome and solves the hatred for crust problem.
Tell me more.
Okay, this is not the product that's my BFP, but I'm getting there. But have you heard about something called Smucker's Uncrustables sandwiches?
Yes, I'm aware of the existence of Uncrustables, but I can't say I really know anything more about them.
Yeah, me neither. I've never gotten them. They're pre-made little sandwiches. They're circles, and they're just like sealed little pockets of food, peanut butter and jelly or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I came across a product on Amazon that creates these Uncrustable sandwiches at home. It's a little circle cutter, mm-hmm. and you put it on the middle of the bread, and you kind of like cut out a circle, and then you press down on the top of it, and it mm-hmm. seals the edge of the sandwich. So you cut away all the crust, you seal it up so it's like a fun little pocket sandwich, mm-hmm. and then you give that to the kids, and it's exciting, and it's crust-free, and it's a fun way to eat your sandwich.
It's like a PB&J ravioli stamp.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. Yeah. It's so fun. You can do it with any kind of sandwich. You can make a turkey ravioli stamp sandwich or whatever you want.
You could if your child ate anything other than peanut butter and jelly.
Yes, this is true. There are a lot of these products. You can search Amazon or Target, wherever you like to get your supplies, for Uncrustables Maker, and you can find these little sandwich stamp cutout things. They're great for lunchboxes too, because then the edges don't leak out peanut butter and jelly.
Oh yeah, it doesn't ooze out the side. That is actually a real bonus, because I'm thinking like, oh, I don't know if I need this, but the oozing jelly out of the side is really annoying.
Mm-hmm. So it keeps it nice and contained, fits in a lunchbox perfectly. It wastes a little bit of the bread, I'm not going to lie. But then again, my kid wastes a lot of the bread anyway by picking it all off.
Well, and I cut the crusts off anyway. I mean, I just eat the crusts. Like 90% of my diet now is the crusts of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I'll just have circular crusts now. Maybe it's just more for me.
Yeah, it's more fun for you, Laura. It's exciting. So anyway, that's my BFP for the week. What do you got for us?
I also have a BFP.
Okay, cool.
My BFP is giant bubbles.
Ooh, fun.
Have you ever made giant bubbles with the girls?
I think we tried and we're not successful. Tell me your secrets.
Yes. So this is actually part of the BFP, is the specific recipe for giant bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
So like way back, like a year ago, Sherry, Corey's mom, got Augie a like giant bubbles kit as a present, and it came with like the solution that you just watered down and this wand thing. So it's like two sticks with some like big rope hanging off of it that you can make the giant bubbles with, right? And it's really great. Mm-hmm. She found it online. I'm sure you can search like giant bubble kit and get it. And that was great, but it's been a year and the giant bubble solution is long gone. But there was one day this week where we were in our like COVID quarantine and trying to come up with stuff to do, and Augie opened a cabinet and found the wand that makes the giant bubbles. And I was like, oh, we should do that, but how are we going to make this solution? And mm-hmm. I Googled it and of course found a recipe.
Awesome.
So this recipe I found from happyhooligans.ca, Canada represent, and we'll post the link in our show notes, but it's really simple. It's 6 cups of water, a half cup of Blue Dawn dishwashing detergent, mm-hmm. a half cup of cornstarch, a tablespoon of baking powder, and a tablespoon of glycerin. And glycerin's the one where it's like, I don't just have glycerin laying around. But apparently you could also just use lube.
Well, there you go.
And to be fair, I actually did have glycerin just lying around because like, I have a lot of crafting shit around my house. So we did have glycerin, but it says on here like glycerin or personal lubricant. So,
there you go.
I'm guessing lots more people have that lying around than glycerin. But
how much though? A half a cup?
A tablespoon.
Oh, a tablespoon. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that won't ruin your Saturday night then.
So you mix it all together and then you can make these giant bubbles. And if you don't have one of these wands, you can just take like two straws and feed a piece of yarn through it and tie a knot. And then like the kids can hold on to the straws, dip it in and like come out and make the bubbles with them. So it's like a super low tech, easy project. And Augie loved it.
Oh, fun.
It was so fun for him. It didn't help him rest, but it did help him like get outside and enjoy the fresh air. And Sebastian liked it too. I'm going to send you a picture.
Yes.
Here it comes.
Oh, wow. That's really big. That seems like as big as he is.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely as big as he is. Like, that's one of the smaller ones. You can get really, really big ones. So super fun. They kind of pop in slow motion too, so it's fun to watch. Like, he was basically running around and trying to pop them with his face, which, you know, we told him might hurt his eyes, but very, very, very fun. Highly recommend.
How do the dry ingredients come into play there? Cornstarch and baking soda? What's that about?
Baking powder. They specifically say baking soda won't work. You know, I don't understand the chemistry of it, to be honest. And a lot of the cornstarch settles to the bottom. And like in this blog post, she says it's important. Like, that's fine. Don't worry about it. It must have to do with like keeping the structure of the bubble, I'm guessing. Hmm. But yeah, I really don't understand the chemistry of it at all. I'm sure one of our listeners has a PhD in chemistry and can let us know. Or maybe
yes,
it's physics.
Please.
I don't know. But they do make very, very cool bubbles.
Awesome. I'm going to have to try that. Girls are going to love that.
I want to take it to a park one day, except for I feel like I'd end up like the Pied Piper with just like children all around me.
Yes. That'd be fun for a birthday party at the park.
That's true. That would be fun. Fun activity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my BFP, giant bubbles.
Awesome, awesome. And I think that is our show, yeah?
Sure is.
Listeners, if you have any other questions for us that you want us to answer in the next round of Check in the Inbox, be sure to reach out. We love hearing from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest community of people on the internet, search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join because it's a private group. Make sure you answer those two membership questions so I know you're not a robot, and then you'll be sent straight through to all the amazing conversations we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate us and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.